Well, holding on Caulfield Tess on the bay is about a third of the way down the onward by the two dots. The Mishnah had said, Kola Kodshim. The whole of the Mishnah had described, you have korbanos that a person was makdish during the time when bomos are osir, and then offered them during the time when bomos are mutar, or vice versa, various permutations like that. And what are the dinim? And what are the dinim in that case? We said that if a person was makdish them during a time when bomos are osir, and then he offers them when bomos are osir, then of course you have everything that we've been describing in the last two parakim, that there is he's over his chayiv kodesh, and then he's over on an eser, because he should have brought them to the Mishkan, and a lois eser, because you're not allowed to offer them outside the Mishkan, or the Beis Mikdash and Kodesh. And then we have the permutations where he was makdish them when bomos were mutter and offered them when bomos are osir, or the other way around. If he was makdish them when bomos are mutter and offered them outside the Beis Mikdash when bomos are osir, then he's over on an eser and a lois eser, but there's no Kodesh. And if it was he had been makdish them when bomos are osir and then offered them when bomos are mutter, then he's only over on an eser, the eser namely that he should have brought them to the Beis Mikdash, to the Mishkan, or should have brought them to the Mishkan before it was destroyed or moved, but nevertheless, there's no lois eser, let alone kodesh. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, lois shanu ala b'shchita. Those distinctions that we're talking about, where he was makdish it when bomos are mutter, and then offered it when they're osir, we're saying that all he's over on is an eser and a lois eser, but not kodesh, ala b'shchita. Rav Kahana says that would only apply to shechting the korban, aval b'halah, but if it comes to offering another bama, koris nami mechayev, then Rav Kahana says he would in fact be chayev koris as well. My timer. Why do amakra? Because the pasuk says va'alehem toimar. Because the pasuk says, and to them you should say that you're not allowed to offer korbanos outside of Beis Mikdash. Now we understand the word va'alehem to be va'alehem with an ayin, meaning and upon them. So ala smuchim toimar. So what it just mentioned, it had just talked about the previous psukim had been talking about korbanos that he was makdish when bomos are mutter, but then he shafted them outside the Beis Mikdash, or outside the Mishkan, during the time when bomos are osir, and the pasuk is saying, and then the pasuk is saying that they shouldn't, and they're going to be chayiv koris. So therefore, so he understands. So or rather, it doesn't say over there koris; it just says that he's over, which is why we said in the Mishnah he's over only on an eser and a lois eser. But Rav Kahana says, since the next part continues va'aleihem tomar, and on that you should say, then that means, and then it goes on to describe that if a person does, he's chayiv kodesh. So Rav Kahana understands that to mean, regarding the previous ones that was just talking about, where he was makdish it when bomos were mutter, and then offered it when bomos are osir, on them you should tell the Jewish people, Hashem says to Moshe, that they're going to be chayiv kodesh if they do it outside the Beis Mikdash. However, Masuf lo Rabba, but Rabba asks on that, does it say va'alehem with an ayin, which would mean and on them, which would mean added to what we said in the previous paragraph, Alehem Siva Alehem Karinan. We have the word. The word is Va Alehem with an Aleph, which means to them. We even had earlier in the previous parak, we had a drasha regarding that, where it says where it clearly says Va Alehem and to them, the Jewish people, you should tell them. To be sure, Tosfos points out, we talked about over there, that there was an Iru Parshias over there, that it means the Vav ties them together. But that means ties them together, that where there's an Issur Shchita, there's an Issur Halah, and vice versa. But not to the extent that we're going to say that something which would have been which wouldn't have been an Issur Koris, namely the Shchita of such Korbanos, should be an Issur Koris for Halah, that not. Rabbi is saying you can't darshan it that way. But Oid Tamya, and furthermore, we learn in a Braisa, our Ba'at Polis Hoyer of Shimon Omer B'Kodshim. Reb Shimon said four general rules as far as Kodshim, as far as the rules of Shechting Kodshim outside the Beis Mikdash. Expanding on what it said in the Mishnah. First case, Ekdishin B'Shas Yisra Abomis, V'Shachar Pehel B'Shas Yisra Abomis. If it was Makdish, the animal, when Bomis are Osir, such as nowadays, when Bomis are Osir, and then he shechted and offered the animal, shechted or offered, because if you look before each one as a separate chiyuv, when bomos are osir, bachutz, and he did that outside the azara, harin the eser, the loisa said yesh ben koris, then there's definitely an eser and a loisa said and koris, as The Esther, the Loisa said that we said before, you have a mitzvah to bring them to the Bismikdash, not to bring them outside. And then Kodesh, it says they are in Achrimos, in that whole parasha of Shvutichutz. Second case, Yishin Meshas Heter Abomas, Shachar Peher, Meshas Isra Abomas. If he was Makdash them when Bomas Amutter, such as during the time when the Mishkan was in Gilgal or Nov and Givon, as we've been learning, the Shachar Peher, Meshas Isra Abomas, then he took the animal and offered it and shechted it or offered it when Bomas of Osir, such as after the Mishkan in Shiloh was built or the Bismithus was built, Harein the Esther, the Loisa says, the Ein Koris, then there's an Esther and a Loisa says, as we said in the Mishnah, but there's no Koris involved because the Koris is only when, the Koris is only when he was Makdashit, when Bomas of Osir. The third case, Edition, Meshas Isra Bomas, Meshachat the Hell of Achos, Meshas Heter Bomas, where he was Makdashit when Bomas of Osir, and then shechted or offered it when bomis amutter, harein be eser, then he's only ovan and eser, vein behen the lois eser, then there's not even a lois eser, and certainly not koris, because then there's only the eser that he should have brought it to the Beis Hamikdash during the time that bomis were also, he should have brought it right then. And the fourth case, addition, v'shas hetzer abomis, v'shochar behel, v'shas hetzer abomis, the fourth case is he was makdish it when bomis amutter, and he shechted or offered it, when bomber some motor, potter mikvum, then he's potter from any punishment. Tosfos says, what do you mean he's potter from any punishment? Of course, we've been discussing in the last few daffin that he's perfectly allowed to do that. So Tosfos says, fine, what it means is, let's say he was makdish the animal, planning to bring it on the bomber gdola, on the central Mizbeach in Gilgal or Noah Givon, and then he brought it into the Azorah over there, and then he took it out. Nevertheless, he will be culture because the fact is it's a period when bombers come water. Anyway, the point is that we see from this Braisa that Rav Shimon makes no distinctions between Shchita and Halah. In every case, he's talking about the Shachat the Hela and talks about that he shechted or offered it. So we see, not like Rav Kahana says, that there's a distinction where there can be a case where he's potter from Koris for the Shchita, but Chayiv for the Halah, it's not so. So the Gemara says Tiyufta to Rav Kahana. This is a clear contradiction on Rav Kahana. And the answer is yes, Tiyufta, it is in fact a contradiction, and we don't follow Rav Kahana, and we say that when Bomas Amutter, and therefore there's no Kodesh for Korbanos that he was Makdish, when Bomas Aser, nevertheless, that would apply equally well to Shchita and Halah. Next, the Mishnah had said the Elu Kodshim. The whole of the Mishnah had said that the following Kodshim can be offered on a Bama Ktana, and we have the whole discussion, the whole multi-way Macholikas Amiroyim, and the multi-way Macholikas Tanoyim, which Korbanos can and can't be brought on a Bama Ktana, and even on a Bama Gdola. We had opinions, remember, that there are certain Korbanos that can't even be brought on the Bama Gdola, only on the Mizbeach and the actual full-fledged Mishkan or Beis Mikdash. Anyway, then the Mishnah had gone on to start discussing the distinctions between a Bomas Yochid and a Bomas Tzibur. During the time when Bomas Hamutter, we said there are certain dinim that apply to the Bomas Tzibur, to the public Mizbeach, but not to a private one. We said the fact that you have to do smicha on a korban, you don't do that by a Bomakana, the fact that you have to shech in certain korbanos in the north, that you have the blood has to go all around the Mizbeach, that you have to wave certain korbanos, that you have to touch a korban mincha to the Mizbeach, Rav Yehuda had interjected and said, never mind that, there's no mincha by a bomber anyway. As we talked about before, because since the pasuk talks about only as far as shechting korbanos, then that meant that we exclude menachos from it. So Tosfos points out, by the way, that when we say there's no mincha, means there was no mincha at all. It would mean there was no mincha even at all. There was no mincha on the wall at all on the Bama Gdola, as opposed to all these other distinctions. There would have been on the Bama Gdola, and those distinctions apply there, but not by a Bama Ktana. So, for example, this that the blood has to go all around doesn't apply by a Bama Ktana. It does apply by a Bama Gdola, as opposed to when Yehuda says ain mincha b'Bama, as we looked before, it means he holds that menachos are not brought on any Bama, neither a Bama Ktana nor a Bama Gdola. Anyway, then we said also the fact that a Koyan has to do the Avodah is not necessary by Bama Ktana, that he has to wear big day shores, that he has to use clay shores, that you're not allowed to roast the pieces of the korban before you bring them to Mizbeach, the fact that you have different places for the blood, some on the top half, some on the bottom half, And the fact that you have to wash your hands and feet before doing the avodah. Those were all the distinctions. The Mishnah had said that you don't need any of those by Bamakana, but you do need those by Bamakdola. So now we're going to go through and explain how we know each of those things does not apply by Bamakana, by private bubble. So, the Eidel Kodshim, so Smicha, how do we know that you don't have Smicha by Bamakana? Dichtiv, Lifnei Hashem v'Sama, because the Pasuk says, before Hashem, the Pasuk says you should bring this curtain before Hashem and do smicha. So therefore, only lifnei Hashem, only in the presence of Hashem, which is in the Mishnah or the Beis Hamikdash. Shchitas Tzafon. How do we know you don't have to shekel in certain korbanos in the north? Yichtiv Tzafon lifnei Hashem, because the same thing it says that you have to shekel in the north lifnei Hashem. Matonis Saviv. The fact that the blood has to go all around the mizbeach. Shei matonis shei nara. And you don't have to do that by a bamakana. Yichtiv. The Zorak al Mizbeach Saviv, it says you should sprinkle it on the Mizbeach, all around, Saviv Saviv. The actual Lashon HaPasuk is a little different. The Zorak was Adom al Mizbeach Saviv. And it says, now there it doesn't say Lifnei Hashem, but it does say, the Pasuk continues, Asher Pesach Oyel Moed, that he has to, that this is only by the Mizbeach, which is at the entrance to the Oyel Moed, so therefore that means not by a Bamak Tanah. So therefore, you don't have to do that by a bamakana. Next, snufa, you don't have to wave certain korbanos. The heinif hakoyim lifnei Hashem, because the pasuk says the koyim should wave it before Hashem. Here also, you don't have that exact pasuk, but the pasuk says snufa lifnei Hashem. You have different psukim that mention snufa in connection with lifnei Hashem, and again, lifnei Hashem means not at a bamakana. Hagosha, how do we know that you don't have to touch the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach when you're doing by a bamaktana? Again, following the opinion that there is a mincha by a bamaktana, which is not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, as we just said. Just in the disha of a mizbeach, because the pasuk says he should touch it to the mizbeach. The mizbeach, meaning the one that is in the oil moed, and not any other one. Rashi has a different girsa over here. Rashi instead brings the pasuk, hakriv oisa lifnei Hashem, offer the mincha before Hashem, which hakriv oisa refers to hangosha. We'll learn about it in the menachas, says Hashem, and therefore we see that that has to be only lifnei Hashem and not anywhere else. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein mincha b'bama. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no mincha by a bama in the first place, so therefore it's not to talk about hangosha over there. Omer Rav Sheshes, so Rav Sheshes points out, which we had before, l'divrei ha'omer yesh mincha b'bama, yesh oifus b'bama. The Tanakama, who holds that you could bring menachas on a bama, also holds that you can bring birds as a korban on a bama. L'divrei ha'omer ein mincha b'bama, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there's no mincha by a bama, ein oifus b'bama, then you can't offer birds on a bama either. Because where do we learn according to Rabbi Yehuda that you don't bring menachas on a bama? Because the pasuk says zvachim, the pasuk says zavchu zivchei shlamim lahashem oisam, and the word oisam is a mir, them, so that means zvachim v'loy menachas, from which we learn that it applies only to korbanos that are shechted, not menachas. Well, the same thing, zvachim v'loy oifas, well, the same thing, then zvachim would also exclude birds, because birds aren't shechted, instead we do malika for them. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that not only there's no menachas by bamaktana, but there's also no birds brought as a korban there either. Okay. Next, getting back to the list of a koyin, how do we know that you don't need a koyin to do the avodah by the bamaktana? Dichtiv, the pasuk says v'zorach hakoyin, the pasuk says a koyin should sprinkle. And again, it says that he should sprinkle on the mizbeach of Hashem, which is in front of the oil moed. So therefore, that means only on that mizbeach we need a kohen. We find, by the way, several examples in here, unlike most of the other ones where we don't actually necessarily find explicit examples in Tanakh of them. We find in a few places where they brought korbanos out, where they brought korbanos during these periods when bamos were mutter. We find Shmuel, bring the korban, Shoal, we're going to talk about soon. We find a few cases, besides which we had Haroas Shah, we talked about with Manoah, where that was a special one-time instruction from a Malach to bring a korban there. But other than that, we have a few examples. Most of these things that we're saying, we don't explicitly find in the pasuk whether they did them or not. There's no requirement to do smicha. There's no requirement to shechter in the north, but it didn't say one way or the other whether they did. Here we have a few cases. For example, Shmuel was a lady, not a kohen. Shoal was from Shevet Binyamin, and we see that they brought korbanos. So we see practical examples where koyanim, we're non-koyanim, we're doing the avodah then. Incidentally, worth mentioning in this connection, actually, there's a sicha from the Rebbe in Chelek Yudalad on Parshas Shoftim, which also doubles as a hadron from the Sefer Zvachim. The Rebbe wonders over there. I mean, we've been talking at great length, and we still have another das to go, approximately, of all these dinim of what you're allowed and not allowed to do with korbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash. But it seems all of this is kind of only of historical interest. The fact is, there were only from when the Mishkan was built, we said there was a grand total of 71 years, 14 in Gilgal, 57 in Noiv and Givon, when Korbanos were mutter on Bamas Ketanis. Every other time it's Osir, ever since the Beis Hamikdash was built, is Osir. Why are we going to such an arichos, too long prakim, discussing all the ins and outs of it? Okay, you could say that, you know, we talk about that Goyim can bring Korbanos nowadays, but come on, we're going to have 20 blocks of it, we're going to have 15 blocks of Gemara over here dealing with all these dinim just so that we know what Goyim are allowed and not allowed to do. So that explains that you can have, we know famously, we just talked about yesterday, that the Malach told Manoach to bring a one-time korban, and in general, we know a Navi has that power. A Navi has the ability to override mitzvahs temporarily, as we find by Eliyahu Ba'arakamo. Well, therefore, all of this is relevant. If a Navi tells us temporarily to bring a korban outside the Beis Hamikdash, then we need to know what to do and what not to do. Therefore, all of these dinim are, in fact, relevant, and in fact, that ever points out, here we've been talking about the last couple of dafim, that you can only bring voluntary korbanos on a bama katana. You cannot bring obligatory, according to everybody, you cannot bring obligatory korbanos. We had a machlokas whether you can bring them on the bama gdola, but everybody agrees you can't bring them on the bama katana. In any case, the point is that, but when a Novi tells you to do it, then actually you do actually have that you are accomplishing a chayva over there, because it's a mitzvah to listen to what the Novi says, so then it comes out, you're actually accomplishing something required on a bama ketana, which you wouldn't otherwise be able to do by virtue of the fact that the Novi is telling you to do it. Then Rebbe finishes off that sicha, by the way, by pointing out that the fact is you're supposed to bring korbanos wherever possible in the Beis Hamikdash, and from that we can learn when there's a mitzvah to do, better if possible to do it in a place of kedusha anyway, a shul or a Beis Medrash, the same way as even in the time when bomb is a mutter, most of the time you're supposed to bring korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara. Big day shoris. How do we know the koyin does not have to wear even if koyin is serving at a bama ketana, he doesn't have to wear big day kohana? Because the pasuk says l'shoris v'kodesh, to serve in the holy place, and that means only in the mishkan. Or clay shoris. You don't need clay shoris to do the avodah by a bama, because again the pasuk says l'shoris shoris v'bama v'kodesh, because the pasuk says the kalim with which they serve in the holy place. So again, only in the mishkan or the mishkan. Reyach nichoyach, how do we know that you don't need reyach nichoyach by a bama, and therefore you're allowed to roast the pieces of the korban and only then bring them on your bama and offer them? Because the pasuk says, l'reyach nichoyach l'Hashem, dichtiv, l'reyach nichoyach l'Hashem, the pasuk says, for a sweet fragrance for Hashem. So that means, and again, it says Pesach Oyo Moed, implying that this applies only Pesach Oyo Moed. How do we know that you don't need a division of blood by Bama Ketana, that you don't need that some blood, as we've been learning throughout the Masech, that goes on the top half of the Mizbeach and others on the bottom half? Because the Pasuk says, the network, we learned earlier in the Masech, that in the Mishkan, in the Mizbeach and the Mishkan, there was a copper netting that extended until the midpoint of the Mizbeach, and that was the equivalent of the Chutas Sikre in the Beis Mikdash, in the Mizbeach and the Beis Mikdash. You had a red line painted around the Mizbeach to know where the top half ends and the bottom half begins. In the Mishkan, you have this copper netting that where the edge of it serves the same purpose, and the pasuk says that you need that ad chatzi ha-mizbeach until the midpoint of the mizbeach. That means specifically the mizbeach in the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash. So you don't need that by bamas yet. Richutz yadayim, and how do we know that you don't have to wash your hands and feet before doing the avodah by bama? Because the pasuk says when they come close to the mizbeach, they should wash. So again, the mizbeach in the Mishkan or Beis Hamikdash. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer Rami Bachar. Loishanu ela bekodshe bama ketana v'yikrivim bama ketana. All of this would apply only when it comes to kodshim that were designated originally to offer on a bama ketana, and then v'yikrivim bama ketana, and he actually in the end offered them on the bama ketana. Avam bekodshe bama ketana v'yikrivim bama gdola, what Rami Bachama says, where he designated them to offer on a Bamak Tana, and then ended up offering them on the Bamak Gerla, yes, Chitzui, then this concept of having to have a division of blood, depending what kind of korban it is, whether it goes on the top half or the bottom half, then that will make a difference. Then you do have to have it on the proper half of the mizbeach. Now there is on the side of it here. There's a different gusa, which the Birkas HaZevach and the Tzon Kodshim and Chok Nosan, all the major Uli Achronim who wrote on Ar Masechta explain that according to Rashi, there's a much different gusa in Ar Gemara. According to that gusa, it would be that on the contrary, Rami Lacham is saying, Lo Shano, Ela B'Kodshe B'Bama G'dola, B'Krivu B'Bama G'dola. When you have a korban that was designated for the B'Bama G'dola, and you offered it on the B'Bama G'dola, then you have to have all these rules that we said in the mission. Ela B'Kodshe B'Bama Chanit, B'Kavrinu B'Bama G'dola, but according to this Gusa, we're saying, if it was the other way around, they were supposed to be offered on the B'Bama Chana, and you ended up offering them on the B'Bama G'dola, Ein Chitzui, then in fact this concept of Chitzui would not apply, and you do not have to make sure that the blood goes on the proper half of the mizbeach. So exactly the opposite of the gusa that we have over here. So the Gemara says Moisiv Rava. So Rava says I have a contradiction. A Braisa says Chozer Shloim, the breast and thigh of a Korban Shlomim, which are waved and then given to the Kohen, or Truma Slachne Toida, and the ones that are separated from the breads of the Toida, as we learned before, and as we'll learn in Menachos Ves Hashem, the Toida comes with 40 loaves of bread, 10 of each of four types, and you have to take one of each type and give them to the Kohen. Noyagin. The Kodshe Bama G'dola, those things apply to Kodshim of the Bama G'dola when you're offering a Shlomim or a Toda that were meant to be offered on the Bama G'dola. They're in Nogin, the Kodshe Bama G'dola, but they do not apply by the Kodshim of a Bama G'dola. So therefore, that would imply, in other words, that so we see, according to the Gusa that we have in front of us, when you're saying that when they're offered by the Bama G'dola, then you have to follow all the rules of the Bama G'dola, but the Braisa is saying that they don't apply to Kodshe Bama K'tana, which seems to imply the Korbanos that would have been brought on a Bama K'tana, and instead you chose to brought them on the Bama G'dola. Nevertheless, the Braisa seems to be saying that in Noyagin, these rules of Chos V'Shoyf don't apply, and in that case, the other rules shouldn't apply either. And the answer is Eimon Nogin B'Bama G'dola V'Ein Nogin B'Bama K'tana. You have to fix up the wording of the Braisa, not Kodshed B'Bama G'dola or Kodshed B'Bama K'tana, which would suggest Korbanos that were designated for one versus designated for the other, but rather where you're actually giving the Korban, B'Bama G'dola versus B'Bama K'tana. So according to that, then fine. Whenever you're bringing it at the B'Bama G'dola, regardless where you originally intended to bring the korban, then you have to follow the rules of the B'Bama G'dola, and that includes Chos V'Shoyk and all that. So no contradiction to what Rami Bahama is saying. Again, according to the Girsa on the side, then you also have the difference that Rabbah is asking that just the opposite. The Braisa says they apply by the B'Bama G'dola and not by the B'Bama K'tana, and the Gemara answer is that no, just the opposite. We're fixing up and saying the words in the Braisa is not B'Bama G'dola or B'Bama K'tana, but Kodshed B'Bama G'dola and Kodshed B'Bama K'tana. The key thing, according to that, is where they were originally designated to be offered. Okay. The Gemara says Ikadamri, another version of the discussion, went like this. Amar Rami Bachama, Lo Shana Ela B'Kodshe B'Bama G'dola, V'Kriven B'Bama G'dola. When we say in the Mishnah that you have these rules that apply to the B'Bama G'dola, in the second version, Rami Bachama is saying that applies only when they were designated for the B'Bama G'dola and offered on the B'Bama G'dola, then you need Mechitza B'Damin and a Koyin and Tzoy Shores and the whole nine yards. Ava B'Kodshe B'Bama G'dola. But where they were designated to be brought on the B'Bama K'tana, after Gav the Karbina with B'Bama G'dola, even though he offered them on the B'Bama G'dola, Ein Chitzui, then there's no need for Mechitza B'Damim for the division of blood top and bottom half or any of the other details. And according to that, Lema Messiah, can we say that the Braisa supports him? The Braisa is saying these things apply to the Kodshim of B'Bama G'dola, the Kodshim that were originally designated to be offered on the B'Bama G'dola, but they're not knowing the Kodshim of B'Bama K'tana, which is the ones that were originally designated for the Bama Ketana, and that would prove Rami Bahama's point that even when those were taken and offered on the Bama Gdola, nevertheless these rules don't apply. And again, the answer is Eman Nogin with Bama Gdola, but Ein Nogin with Bama Ketana. Not necessarily the Braisa may actually mean to distinguish not where the Korban was meant to be brought, but where it was actually brought, and then in that case that wouldn't be any proof for Rami Bahama. In fact, it would be like in the first version, it would be a question on him. He also, the Girsa on the side, the Girsa of the Uli Achronim, and apparently Rashi's Girsa is the other way around. The Ikka D'Amri is that Rami Bahama is saying that when do we say that, that there's no Mechitza B'damim and all that, is this man, Bama Gdola V'Kuvim B'Bama Ketanim, during a time when Bama is so osur, or when they're multiple, but we're talking about the Korbanos that are brought specifically on the public Bama, V'Kuvim B'Bama Gdola, and he offered them on the Bama Gdola, Al Bizman Bama Ketanim. During a time when Bama's Ketana is a mutter, and you have a korban that could have been brought on them, then even if you offer them on the Bama Gdola, you still don't need Mechitza B'damim, because these are korbanos that equally well could have been brought on a private Mizbeach, and therefore even when you bring them on the public Mizbeach, you don't know the rules. And according to this version, Mosid Rabba, Rabba is again asking the question, these rules do not apply on the Bama Gdola, but they do apply by the Bama Gdola, but not by the Bama Ketana, implying that they apply in the Bama Gdola always, because even when Bama Ketana is a mutter, and that would contradict Rami Bahama. And the answer is Eman Nogin Bizman Bama Gdola, they Nogin Bizman Bama Ketana. All it means is when a time when Bama is a osur, then these things apply, but they don't apply when Bama Ketana is a mutter, and therefore that would fit with what Rami Bahama says. So we have several different versions, in short, of what Rami Bahama stated and what Rabba asked on him and what the Gemara tried to bring a proof for him as far as these distinctions between Bama Gdola and Bama Ketana and these distinctions between what we're saying and what needs to be done as far as Mechitza B'damim and the other rules. The Gemara says, a pliga did of a lozer. Now, all of this disagrees with this statement of Rami Bahama saying that there's a difference. Rami Bahama was saying, according to either version, that not always are korbanos that are brought on the Bama Gdola, is it necessary to have a Mechitza B'damim? Sometimes not. It will depend where the korban was meant to be offered in the first place. But pliga de Rabbi Elazar, all of this disagrees with what Rabbi Elazar says. Da'amar Rabbi Elazar, Olas Bamas Yachid, when you have an Ola that was meant to be offered on a private Bama, Sheikh Nisa B'fnim, where he brought it into the area of the Mishkan, and even we're talking about the Mishkan at this point, is only a Bama Gdola, but nevertheless, Kultur Mechitzis L'chol Davar, the walls have absorbed it for all purposes, meaning at this point, it becomes the equivalent of having been designated to begin with to bring on the Bama Sibur, and therefore all the rules of Bama Sibur will apply. You're not allowed to take it out of there and offer it again, and you also, all the rules of Mechitzis B'damim and Koyin, and all that will apply. Whereas Rami Bahama was saying it depends what you were makdish it for. Rabbi Elazar is saying the key thing is, did it come within the walls of the Azar? Okay. The Gemara says, Boy Rab Zera. Rab Zera asks the following question. Or Tosfos has a Girsa. Rab Abba asks the question. Oilas Bamas Yachid. Let's talk more about this case of an Oila that was meant to be offered on a Bamas Yachid. Sheikh Nisa Lashmin, he brought it into the Azara. Vahitsiya Lachod, in the time when Bamas Amotar. Vahitsiya, so what happened was, Rashi explains, he shechted it outside. So here, we're talking about a time when Bamas were Motar. So he shechted it outside the Mishkan in Gilgal, let's say, which fine, he was perfectly allowed to do because it's the time when Bamas Amotar. Then after he shechted it, he brought it into the Azara, into the Chotzer of the Mishkan and Gilgal. And then he brought it out again. Mahu, what would be the din? Do we say once it's been brought in, the walls have grasped it, and therefore now it has to be brought back inside? So now we will have to do Chotzer Ashoik, and we will have to do all the other rules, okay? Or maybe once it was taken out, then it was originally shechted outside in the first place, and therefore it goes back to being like the oila of a bamas yochid, and therefore it doesn't matter, and you can keep it outside. So Now this is not necessarily related to what Rebbe Elazar had just said about Chatur Mechitzes, because he was talking about when the animal was brought in alive. And for that matter, also Reb Zera or Reb Ada is asked only when it was taken out again. If it was left inside the Azara, then yes, definitely you would have to treat it like the Torben and the Azara, like Rebbe Elazar says. But the Gemara asks, Lav Hainu Plugta, the Rabbi of Reb Yosef. Isn't what Reb Ada or Reb Zera asking exactly the same as Machoikos of Rabbi and Reb Yosef? And in that case, he should just say, so his question should be whether the halacha is like Rabbi or Reb Yosef. It's not. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah, at the beginning of the Sechta Me'ilah, Kodshe Kodshe Shoftan Vadorein, Kodshe Kodshe that was shefted in the south of the Azara, and as we've learned throughout the Sechta, they have to be shefted in the north, and if not, then they're possible, but in this case, he shefted them in the south, Moiv and Behen, Me'ilah will still apply to them. We don't say that it's considered as though we just killed them without Shchita, which Rashi points out. The Gemara tells us in Me'ilah, if Kodshin die without proper Shchita, then indeed Me'ilah no longer applies to them. So now we don't say that when it was Shechted in the south, then it's the equivalent of having been killed without Shchita. No, we say Me'ilah still applies to them. And if, however, if they went up onto the Mizbeach, then we don't take them. Then we don't take them down. Here also you have a few different gyrosos. Rashi over here has the gyrosa that the question is, would we take them down? And then we have the question, what if they were taken off the Mizbeach? Would we bring them back up? So now Rashi's gyrosa is that we don't say to begin with, rather the question is, if we bring them up onto the Mizbeach, do we take them down? Rabba Omer Lo Yalu for Rabbi Yosef Omer Yalu. The Gilsa in front of us in the printed Gemara is as follows. Vim Olu Lo Yodu, such korbanos that were shechted in the south, if they were brought up to the Mizbeach B'Yeved, then we taka don't take them down. V'Yiboyelahu, but the question was, Yodu Marosh Yalu, what happens if they were taken off the Mizbeach, do we bring them back up? Do they have enough Kedusha, even though they were shechted in the south, to be brought up? Rabba Amal Yalu, Rabbi Yosef Amal Yalu, where Rabba says you don't bring them back up, and Rabbi Yosef says you do. So it comes out, in other words, that basically the question is, they were brought onto the Mizbeach. Now they were taken down. Was the Mizbeach Kula? Did the Mizbeach grab them or not? According to Rabba, no. According to Rabbi Yosef, yes. Well then, Rabbi Zera's or Rabbi Ada's question is exactly the same kind of thing. The Gilsa that we have in front of us actually is the Gilsa of the Rambam. Again, Rashi has a different Gilsa that everybody agrees that you don't put them on the Mizbeach in the first place. But the question is, if they were brought up onto the Mizbeach, do you take them down? Rabbi says you do, and Rabbi Yosef says that not. To that extent, Rabbi considers as though they were killed without proper shrit. The same thing comes out. According to Rabba, we don't say the concept of kaltinu, that the Mizbeach has grabbed them. And according to Rabbi Yosef, we would. So again, that exactly matches Reb Zera's or Reb Ada's question. Tosfos has yet another Gilsa. Tosfos has a Gilsa actually basically the same as what we have in the Gemara. In Olu LeYodu, what about if Yodu, do they go up? Rabba says no, Reb Yosef says yes. So basically the same Gilsa as the Rabba. In any case, the point is that the machlokas seems to be on exactly the same point as Reb Zera is asking whether the walls of the Mishkan are grabbing a hold of something and giving it a different status as it was before. So granted, Mephosh and talk about Shittim Kubetzis talk about it here. The fact is, Rabbi and Reb Yosef are not really talking about where he actually took it outside. But nevertheless, we see if he didn't take it outside, Reb Yosef is saying if you put it on the Mizbeach, then you don't take it out. Here, where you took it out in Reb Zera's question, you took it outside, then on the face of it, even Reb Yosef should hold that the Mechitzis are not enough to grab it. So it has a certain connection to Reb Zera or Reb Abba's questions. The Gemara says no, it's not really the same question. Tiboy l'Rabba, tiboy l'Reb Yosef. Reb Zera's or Reb Abba's question could be asked equally well according to Rabba or Reb Yosef. Tiboy l'Rabba, you can ask it according to Rabba. Ad kamla ka'omer Rabba el ba Mizbeach. You know what Rabba is talking about when it comes to the Mizbeach has a special status. The Chozi Le Mekadosh, because we know in general the Mizbeach is Mekadosh only things that are suitable for it. That was the whole point of Im Olulo Yodu, Im Olulo Yodu, Im Olulo Yodu, and Im Olulo Yodu from earlier in Arma Sefta. It has to be that the thing has enough of a connection to the Mizbeach. It has to be Roy in order to go on the Mizbeach. Well, in this case, Rabba would say, when it was shechted in the south, that it's not Roy, and it's considered as though it was killed without Shechita. So the Alva Mechitza, but Rabba would say, when it comes to the Mechitzas of the, when it comes to the walls or the curtains of the Mishkan, Asgav Velechazile, even something that's not so suitable, Kolta, we can still say that it's considered to be grasped by them, and therefore that now, again, the curtain is shechted outside the Azara, so therefore it's not really suitable for the Azara, but nevertheless, once it was brought in, maybe it's Koltuhu, and therefore you don't take it back out again. So the question could be asked according to Rabba. Or we could ask the question, even according to Rabbi Yosef, who says in the case of the korban shechted in the south, that you leave it on the Mizbeach, or you don't take it down off the Mizbeach, ad kan lekama Rabbi Yosef hasan ala b'chad mokavu. You know what? All over there, it's all one place. Where he shechted in the south, fine, but it was all inside the Azara. It was just in the wrong half of the Azara, but it's still inside the Azara. Abba Hoffa the Shem of Kodmas Minu, but in Abzeira's or Abba's case, you're talking about a korban that was shechted in one place outside the Azara, and then brought into the Azara, which is a whole different place, Loi, then maybe we wouldn't say the fact that it was brought into the Azara wouldn't make a difference. Or maybe it makes no difference. And then once it's Teku, ultimately we have to leave Abzeira or Abba's question as Teku. So if the korban was shechted outside the Azara at a time when Bomas or Mutter, and then it was brought into the Azara, can we take it out again? Or now, when we take it out again, do we have to bring it back in? So Zera or Rav Adda's question is left unresolved. However, the Gemara points out, as far as the Machloikas, when it comes to the korban that was shechted in the south, whether we leave it on the Mizbeach or whether we put it on the Mizbeach in the first place or not, so you should know, milsa de pshitale le rabba b'chad gisa, or Rabbi Yosef b'chad gisa, a matter which is very clear to both Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Each of them has their view, but neither one is saying that's a suffix. You should know me boiler the Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai actually has a suffix on that very same issue. The boy Rabbi Yanai, evrei oilas bomas yochid, sh'olol mizbeah, limbs of a korban that was brought on a bomas yochid, again, it was shechted outside, like in Rabbi Zera's case, and then they were brought into the and then they were brought into the Azara. Now Rashi adds over here based on the Gemara in Me'ilah, which is where this comes from, is that actually they became posel. Well, actually Rashi's gears over here is that they were brought up to Mizbeach. Now do we bring them? Do we take them off? So we're not talking about over here. It doesn't explicitly say that they were posel. But it's actually over here we are talking about where the limbs became fossils. So they were shechted outside the Azara. Then they were brought into the Azara. They became fossils, such as they were Tomei. Now do we leave them now? So all of them is there. The Yodu, they were brought up onto them is there. And then they were taken down. Mahu, what would be the din? Do we put them back up onto the Mizbeach? Or Rashi's Girsa is Sha'olu the Mizbeach. They were brought up from the Mizbeach. Mahu Shi Yodu, do we take them off the Mizbeach? Where the fire has not started burning them yet, there's no question you would take them down. Because then they're not considered to belong to the Mizbeach yet, since after all, this korban was shechted outside the Azara. Kiti Boilach, Heicha the Moshla Behana Ur. A question B, once the fire started burning them, then what would be the din? So we see that Rabbi Yanai has a suffix on a case very similar to what Rabba and Rabbi Yosef were arguing about. It's not exactly the same thing, because as we said before, there's a difference between the one Mizbeach versus two different places, and between the Mizbeach, which has special, which is Makadosh, only as a Roy Loy. So in fact, Shitim Kubetis points out that it's not so obvious that Rabbi Yosef would hold one way on this question, and Rabba would hold the other way. But he explains that nevertheless, the Gemara has reasons. He explains that the Gemara has reasons to assume that they are similar. So we see that Rabbi Yanai has the question, and again the answer is Teku, that again his question is left unresolved. So what would happen in that case when the korban was shechted outside the Azara, brought into the Azara, became posel, was placed on a Mizbeach? Would we take it down, or would we even place it on a Mizbeach in the first place? Then you have Rav Yana as a suffix, whereas the Gemara is saying Rabba and Rav Yosef would be clear one way or the other about that. Here also, Tosfos has the Girsa, the Yodu, Maoshi Yalu, if they were taken down, do we bring them back up? Fine. Now, we went through in the Mishnah, so fine. Now, we went through in the Mishnah a bunch of things that we said that do not apply by a private bomber that do apply by the Mizbeach in the Mishkan or the Bais HaMikdash, whether we said whether it's a bomber's Gola or whether it's a full-fledged Mizbeach. One thing we didn't discuss is the question about if the Korban is shechted at night. We know that if a Korban is shechted or offered at night in the Azara, then it's possible. What about by a bomber's Yochid? So it's not. Shechitas Laila by bomber's Yochid. When you shecht a Korban by night by a bomber's Yochid, is such a thing kosher or not? Rav and Shmuel argue about it. Chada makshed of a chada of a psula. One says that it's kosher, one says that it's possible. Rashi has a different girsa that Rav says that in our Gemara, we're saying one says kosher and one says possible without saying which is which. Rashi's girsa is that it clearly says Rav said it's kosher and Shmuel says it's possible. Now, we do find, by the way, we find in Sefer Shoftim, we have a story with Gideon, where Hashem tells him to go and take his father was an Oved of a Dezorah, he had a Mizbeach built in honor of Baal, he had an ox that he'd been fattening up for years, intending to bring as a korban to Baal, and Hashem tells Gideon, you have to break down that Mizbeach and build a new Mizbeach and take that fattened ox and use it as a korban to Hashem. And the pasuk says Gideon was afraid to do it by day, so he did it by night. Now there was a bamas yochid, and he did it by night. The Gemara actually in Shmurah explains that there were many things that were mutter at that time that normally would have been also. Again, it was a special instruction from Hashem, so therefore that overrides the usual rules. It's a hadras shah. After all, an animal that's designated as a korban for Avodah Zarah is usually not to be brought as a korban for Hashem. For example, wood from an asherah tree, which we also use, is not allowed to be used as for burning the korban, and so on and so forth. So one of the exceptions was that they did it by night. But the question is, in general, are you allowed to bring korbanos by a bama katana at night? So Rav and Shmuel, argue about it, saying kosher and possible respectively. Again, according to Rashi's Girsa, it's clear that Rav says it's kosher and Shmuel says it's possible. So the Gemara points out, now the basis of their argument is based on how Rabbi Lazar's point about how to reconcile two psukim. The Rabbi Lazar Romi Kroya Adavi. Rabbi Lazar pointed out a seeming contradiction between two back-to-back psukim. In Sefer Shmuel and Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Dalet, it talks about the Jewish people were having a tremendous battle against the Plishtim. They beat them. The Plishtim are fleeing. The Shaul had actually ordered everybody to not eat that day. He had ordered that everybody has to fast that day and put them under a shavua forever. And in those times, it was common when Jews went to war, they would do that. They would fast. And this way, the course of their fasting and davening would help them win. So in this case, that everybody followed that, except the Pesukim tell how Yonasan didn't know of it and ate honey. That's a whole subplot in itself, which is not relevant to our Gemara over here. But anyway, the point is that then the Pesuk describes they captured many animals, many livestock from the Plishtim. And the people and the people were starving. They hadn't eaten all day. So they go and everybody starts jumping on the spoils, on the animals and shechting them willy-nilly and eating. So then the pasuk says, "See, so they come and tell Shaul, there's a problem over here. The people are eating al hadam. The people are eating by the blood." The pasuk tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, "Lois tosu al hadam. Do not eat by or on or by the blood." Now there's a lot of different meanings in halacha. What that pasuk means. Most of them are not relevant to this story over here, but the point is that the most simple meaning of it is when you're shechting, you have to make sure the blood drains out properly. It includes you, because after all, you can't eat blood. So lois tosu al hadam. Be careful you don't eat meat when the blood is still in it. Make sure it's kashered properly. But if they're shechting willy-nilly, they're not necessarily taking care of that. It also means, a couple of them folks should talk about, there would be a pagan ritual back then that they would shecht. They would shecht an animal and then have a basin of the blood nearby in order to attract Shadim and other Kurkat HaTumah like that to come and help them. So now they're doing that. Their blood is pooling everywhere and they're not taking care. So the pasuk says, "Vayoma begadtem." So Shaul announces, "You betrayed Hashem. You've done an avera. Golo elai hayoyim even golo. Roll to me today a big stone and we're going to make it a mizbeach." Now he says, "Hayoyim by day." So that means, you know, and here we're talking about a Bama Kana, because at this point, this is not in the Mishkan. At this point, the Mishkan is in Noiv, but this is not in Noiv. This is on the battlefield, and they're building a makeshift Mizbeach. And you see, the Pasuk makes a point, Hayoim, that it has, he tells them, you have to make sure, we have to set up this Mizbeach, and Shech by day. But the next Pasuk continues, Vayoma Shol, Putsu Ba'am. Shol tells the people, go and spread out and circulate around among the people. Va'amautam Lahem, tell them, Hagishu Elai Ish Shodeh V'Ish Siyehu. Each of you bring me his ox or his sheep that you want to shech. Bring them to me, to the central place. Ushachtem Bozeh Va'achaltem. You should shech over here by this Mizbeach, and you should eat. V'loisechtu La'ashem Lecha La'adam. This way you will not sin against Hashem by eating with the blood there. You'll make sure the blood drains out properly. You'll make sure that you don't have the blood nearby to attract Shadim or whatever. And sure enough, the Pasuk says, Vayagishu Chala'am Ish Shodeh V'yodeh HaLaila. Everybody brought their ox to him that night, Vayishchatu Sham, and they shechted it over there. So here we see they're shechting by night. But the previous pasuk says that he insisted that the mizbeach should be built and the korbanos should be shechted by day. So what is it? Incidentally, when he says over here, he uses the expression "oshachtem bozeh va'achaltem." Bozeh also means the Gemara elsewhere tells us it means he personally checked their shita knives. Bozeh, make sure you shech only with these properly checked shita knives. The post can bring a remez for it. The minimum length of a shita knife for an animal should be 14 etzbos. Because the word bazeh is gematria 14. It also, Chazal mentioned, by the way, that we see that Shol, one of Shol's special mitzvahs that he was careful with, was this whole concept of proper shchita and proper draining of the blood in the schus of that he was the only one to be particularly concerned about. That is why Hashem helped in that battle and in previous battles where the psukim described that most of the Jewish people didn't even have any metal weapons. Hashem made available to Shol and to Yonasan metal swords, iron swords, cow that was in the schus of that he was extra careful with this matter of a blade in the matter of shita. In any case, the point is that was so again, getting back to the psukim, so one pasuk was saying, he says Hayoin, and the next pasuk says they shechted by night. So the laws have pointed out that contradiction. Now, so Rav and Shmuel are arguing how to reconcile the contradiction. So one of them answers that one pasuk is referring to Chulin, and the other one is referring to Kodshin. In which case, in the case of Chulin, there's no issue. You don't have to do Zrikas Adam. So one meaning of Lo Sefer Al Adam is don't eat a korban before the blood is sprinkled. If some of these animals are Chulin, then there's no issue of Zrikas Adam, but then the Chok Nasan points out that the point is you still have to make sure that the blood drains properly, and that would be the purpose of the big stone that they can shecht on there, and the blood will drain out properly, and they won't be eating blood together with the meat. Anyway, so one answer is that one said that the night, the pasuk that says they shechted by night is the ones that they were going to eat as cholin. The ones that were, where he says shech by day is referring to the ones that they're bringing as kodshim. Well, then according to that opinion, we see that even on Bamas the Ophid, you cannot bring korbanos at night. Oh, my Mashani, whereas the other one answers, which would be Rav, according to Rashi's view, says Rav would answer, can the kodshim bamakdola, can the kodshim bamakdola, it depends if you have korbanos that they have designated to bring on the public bummer, those have to be shechted by day, because again, those have the kedusha of the bummer sibber, and there the rule of shechting by day applies, and the kodshe bummer kana, as opposed to the ones they shechted by night, are the ones that to begin with they planned to bring on a bummer kana, and according to that opinion, it's kosher to bring them on a bummer kana at night. Next, the Gemara says, Itzman, Oilas Bamas Yochin. When you own Oila that was meant to be, that's being brought on a private Bama. Here's another distinction. Here's another question about something that you need to do by a korban in the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash. Do you need to do it by a private Bama? So we know the Torah tells us by an Oila that you have to skin the animal and you have to cut it up into pieces. So does that apply by Bamas Yochin? Rav Oma Encho Unaheshet Menituach, Rav Yochin Ramatu Unaheshet Menituach. So Rav says, by a bamah katana, you do not need hefshet menituach. You can just offer the animal whole without skinning it and without cutting it up. Rav Yochanan says you do. And the Gemara points out, but commitly, we did Rav Yosef Lili. They're arguing within what Rav Yosef Lili says, which we learned a few blocks ago. The Tanya, Rav Yosef Lili, Oila Sheik, Lili, Yisrael, Bamidbar, Ein Torah, Hefshet Menituach. The Oila, the Jewish people, brought in the Midbar right before Mount Torah. We talked the other day about that Moshe sent Nare B'nai Yisrael, the young Jewish men, the Bechorim. We talked about that the Bechorim actually do the Avodah, or did they just watch it being done? But whatever, they brought an Oila over there. So did that require Hefshet B'nai Tuach? Rabbi Yossi says, that oila into on a hefshet benitorach did not require to have skinned or to be cut up. She'ein hefshet benitorach elam oil moed ba'elach. Because that din applies only once the oil moed was set up, which is a year later, Rosh Chodesh Nisus. So now, within that opinion, then Rav and Rabbi Yisrael really are arguing. Mar Sovar oil moed ba'elach. Want to hold that Rabbi Yisrael really means from the oil moed and on, you always need hefshet benitorach. Therefore, Rabbi Yisrael says that in the future, whenever you bring on a bamaktana, you still need loshna bamaktana, loshna bamakdola. Never mind bamakdola or bamaktana. Either way, you need hefshet benitorach. Because Rabbi Yisrael is saying the one made oil moed ba'elah. So then it means always from when the mitzvah was given in the oil moed. Then you always have to do that. Whereas Rav would hold, no, that means from Oyo Mori Ve'elach, when you bring the Korban in the Bais HaMikdash, in the Mishkan or the Bais HaMikdash, then you have to do Hefshet B'Nitzurach, but not by a private bus. Well, the Gemara says, Tanya Kava Seyde Rav Yechanan. We learn a Braisa, the way Rav Yechanan learns. Dvorim Shabin Bomak Dola or Bomak Tana. Here are the differences between a Bomak Dola and a Bomak Tana. As far as here we were talking about before differences as far as the procedures between them. Let's talk about the actual structure. Heren, the fact that we learned earlier in the Masechta that there were certain essential prerequisites for the Mizbeach in the Mishkan or the Bais HaMikdash, those do not apply to a Bomak Tana. Keren, the fact that it needs four horns, protrusions on the top of it, the square protrusions on the top, the kevesh, and then it needs a ramp, the yisoid, that it needs a yisoid, as we learned earlier, the ribua, and it has to be square, the bum of dola, all those applied by bum of dola, the in keren, the kevesh, the ribua, the bum of kana. None of those things apply to a bum of kana, because each one of those, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that the reason why all of those are essential to the Mizbeach is because by each one of them it uses the expression Hamizbeach. Well, as we just learned on Kuf Yud Tes, some days, whenever it says Hamizbeach, means the Mizbeach in the Mishkan or the Bais HaMikdash, and no other, and therefore we learn from that, so precisely from the fact that we learn that these things are essential for the Mizbeach for the Mizbeach and the Bais HaMikdash, in the Mishkan or the Bais HaMikdash, precisely from that we learn they're not necessary for any other Mizbeach. Okay, the Braitha continues, Kiyur v'kana in the Bamak Dola. Another difference is that only by the Bamak Dola do you need the Kiyur for the Kohenim to wash their hands and feet, and the stand and the base on which it stood, then Kiyur v'kana in the Bamak Tana. You don't need that by the Bamak Tana because, as we said before, you know, they anyway don't need to do the chitza shidayim rep lion, but Rashi points out that anyway, the pasuk says that you should place the kiyur between the oil moed and the mizbeach, implying that there has to be an oil moed over there in order to need the kiyur. And another din, chazav ashoik v'bamak dolav and chazav ashoik v'bamak tana. This we've talked about before, the din of waving the chazav ashoik and giving it to the kohen applies only to the bamak dolav, it does not apply to the bamak tana. Because again, it says snuffle lifnei Hashem. It says they have to wave them before Hashem. Rashi points out, and therefore that means not by a bama kana. You actually have in Sefer Shmuel. It tells how when Shaul first met Shmuel, and Shmuel tells him you're going to be the next king. He invites him to a suda where they had just brought a korban, and he invites him to eat from it. And he tells the cook, I told you to set aside the shoik, the he'alecha, the shoik and what's on it, which the Gemara has in the Avodah Zarah, a few different explanations of what the he'alecha means, and give it as a portion to our honored guest over here. And so we see that the chaz of a shoik was not given to the kohenim again, because the bama ktana, this was a korban that was being brought in Shmuel's hometown of Ramah. Okay. Now the Braisa continues. Dvarim sheshovs a bamak dola lebamak tana. On the other hand, things in which a bamak dola and bamak tana are the same, shchitim a bamak dola tana. Both of them you need to shech because Rashi points out all the things we're going to have in this list. You don't have any meal to say that it should apply only by the big mizbeach. So they apply equally well by a bamak tana. So you have to shech the korban, hefshet b'nitzurach of dolo tana. You have to do hefshet b'nitzurach by both of them, which is what Rabbi Yochanan was saying against Rav. Dam matir v'fagam dolo tana. Dam matir, the blood makes the korban mutter. In other words, you do need to sprinkle the blood in order to be able to eat the korban. That applies by bamak tana as well. V'fagam dolo tana, and the fact that there can be pigle applies both by bamak dolo and bamak tana. If you have a thought of chutz manoi, as we learned much earlier in the Masechta. And also, mumin, gdolo ktana, and also the psul, that an animal can have a mumin uzman, but bomo gdolo ktana. The fact that you can't bring balin mumin, and the fact that you have to eat it within a certain deadline, the gdolo ktana, those apply equally well by the bomo gdolo and bomo ktana, because again, there's no place where the Torah implies that there's any difference in that regard between any kind of bomo or mizbech. So therefore, so you see, the Braisa clearly says, you need to have Shifnei Tuach by Bamach Ta'ana, like Rabbi Yechanan, not like Rav. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Avol Noser Azman V'atomei Shovim B'zeh B'zeh, we said the dinim of Noser and Zman, as we just said, that a korban has a deadline and that you can't have in mind to eat it or burn it outside that deadline, V'atomei, and the fact that a Tomei person can't eat korbanos, Shovim B'zeh B'zeh, the Mishnah had said those are equal by Bamach Zola and Bamach Ta'ana, the same dinim applied to both. So the Gemara says, "Turn around, minayin lasis zman b'bamak tana ki bamak dola." How do we know, indeed, that this concept of zman, that you have a deadline and that you need and that you have a concept of pigle by the bamak tana, just like by the bamak dola? Now we did just say that whenever there's not a miut, then we would say it doesn't apply. So the question is, well, there's no miut over here, so why would we think that? Why would we need a special ribuli for it? So Rashi explains a little further that it's not really so much. The reason is because we would have thought with a binyan av, we find that yotze, we find there's no concept of taking it out of the area, making it possible by the bamak tana, unlike by the bamak gdola, and the same thing by other psulim don't apply to the bamak tana. Therefore, you would have thought that maybe zman doesn't apply either, that leaving it beyond the deadline doesn't apply either. Therefore, we need the Braise to be telling us a source that it does apply. That particular soul does apply. So like this, Omra Torah. So it's like this. The Torah says Lon Yisara for Pigul Yisara. So the Torah tells us that if a korban was left overnight, then it has to be burnt when it was left beyond the deadline. Pigul Yisara, and that pigul has to be burnt. Ma pigul possible bama. So just like pigul is possible by a bama ktana. As we will explain, as one possible, the bomber. The same thing, one where it was left over beyond the deadline, also becomes possible by a bomber. Oh, it cloth the dead of the zoo, but you could argue the other way around. This whole line was in parenthesis. And again, the Uli Achronim, the Shitchum Kubetis, and the Birkas HaZevach, and Chok Nosan, etc., all take it out. So the Rashash says, fine, you don't have to take it out, but you have to flip it around. It's we're saying, just like lon is fossil as a given, as the Gemara will explain in a minute, the same way pigle is fossil. So oi cloth with derech zu, but why? You could go the other way around. You could argue, da'a omra tota lon yisara for yotzi yisara. You could instead compare lon. So here, in other words, what we're saying is we're comparing lon to pigle. And just like one of them applies, the other one applies. But you could argue, you could equally well compare it to yotzi, where it's being taken out of the azara. Da'a omra tota lon yisara for yotzi yisara. We know that if a korban is taken, a kodshin are taken out of the azara, they have to be burnt. So we could argue, my yotzi kosher babama as lon kosher babama. We can argue that just like if it's taken out of the area by a bomber, it's kosher, because there's no concept of an azora when it comes to a bomber. The same thing that should be kosher by lon. So how will we know that lon, or pigle for that matter, applies by a bomber ktana? No. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? The lav kavachoymer hume oifers. Shouldn't it be a kavachoymer from birds, from bird korbanos? When it comes to birds where mum does not fossil them, because we've learned several times in our Masech that by bird only mechusu aver, only when it's actually missing a limb is fossil, zman posabahem, nevertheless, zman fossils them, you have a deadline by which you have to eat them or burn them, eating in the case of the chata sa'od, burning in the case of the ola sa'od. And you have a deadline by which it's done, and for that matter, zman hassles them also, pigle also applies to them. Rashi points out, Udu and Masechta, we learned that there was a ribui in the passage that pigle applies to bird korbanos. Well then, we should make a kavachoyma, kodshin b'maktana sham mum posavan, so then kodshin that are born on b'maktana, whereas we just said a mum does passel them, because we never find any place where a mum should be mutter by b'maktana, ain't it din, shizman posavan, how much more so, that zman, that going beyond the deadline, should passel them. So therefore we can assume that zman passels them, and then once we do that, then we can learn from that pigle as well. But the Gemara says you could slug up the Kal V'Chomer. Mala Ofis Shekain Ein Azor Kosher Behen. On the other hand, when it comes to birds, Azor is not kosher to bring them as a korban, because unlike animal korbanos, which can be shafted by Azor, Oif birds have to have Malika done, and specifically the Malika is done by a Kohen. How do you compare that to the case of a bamach kana, whereas we just said a zor is kosher to do the avodah in it? Loya is man posel law. So therefore, you could argue that zman should not passel by a bamach kana, and there should be no deadline for the korbanos, and therefore no concept of pingle. No, Talmud Loma, therefore the pasuk says, v'zois torah zevach hashlamin, the pasuk says, this is the rule of the zevach hashlamin, that means there's one torah, there's one uniform rule for all zevach hashlamin. And the pasuk talks about over there, among other things, about the deadline of how long you have to do it. So that applies, even shlamin that are brought on a bama katan. Because the pasuk goes on to talk about as far as the korban todah, how long you have to eat it, how long you have to eat a korban shlamin, and it talks a few pesukim later about pigle, so it means that all of these rules apply across the rules. Lasses, zman, bama kana, kizman, bama gdola, so it comes to make the time, the deadline, for eating korbanos that are brought on a bama kana exactly the same as those of a bama gdola. So therefore, we learn from that that the zman applies the same thing. The fact that we can't eat noser from either one of them, Rashi points out, we have xavier, so therefore it's zman, and pigul, which goes along with zman, will apply. Noser will also apply, because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, we have xavier shava, that equates noser and pigul in several different ways. In fact, the Chok Nasan asks, we already have Noser right there in the section of Shlomim. Why do we need to learn it from a different source? But that teaches us that there's also Kodesh involved. And then as far as Tomei, it actually points out, it also says in that parasha where it talks about that if a Tomei person eats from Kodeshim, then he gets Kodesh, so therefore we can apply it all, one after the other, and say that all these things do in fact apply by a Bama Ketan. But whereas Yotzeh does not, it's true, Yotzeh does not apply because there's no mechitzas by Bama Ketana, but these things that we just said, Noser and Pigul and Tomei, and the fact that there's a deadline for the Korban, applies equally well by the Bama Ketana as it does by the Bama Ketana.